to hear you singing. If you have your Bible, let's turn to Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 6. And this is a neat day. It's the Lord's Day, amen. We believe that it's a Sunday, first day of the week. We get to worship Jesus collectively. I hope we worship Him daily, but I'm sure to enjoy being in the house of the Lord and being able to greet and get with other believers and fellowship. And then the opportunity for someone to hear the gospel is just amazing. That could change their whole direction and eternal destiny. And so it's always a great day. But then today's my birthday. And the only reason I'm telling you that is because I got to wear my bingo tie today on my birthday, unashamedly and excitedly. And then I was thinking all this week, it's my birthday. I'm going to get to pick what I want to preach on my birthday. And then Tuesday, a preacher sent me an email from another pastor asking all the preachers in America to preach on a topic this week. And I thought, the one chance I got to pick what I get to preach on my birthday. Now someone asked me to preach on something, and we'll get to that in a minute. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, because I think that there's a greater truth that needs to be talked about and looked at as we talk about this passage. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse number 10. Probably familiar verses, but we want to look at them. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Many times I would stop right there at that verse, because that's the end of my page in my Bible. And there's more verses to the chapter, and usually we just preach on the armor of God, just being honest. But as I turn my page, let's read two more verses. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We're going to talk about this today. Let's be seated as we pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the worship that we are called to. Thank you for the one who is worthy to be worshipped, Jesus Christ, the name above all names given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, the keeper of our salvation, the one who's coming to redeem our bodies and has already redeemed our spirit. Lord, thank you for the promises of your coming. For all the things that you already accomplished by being here. Lord, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit until that day, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, God, I ask that you give me wisdom. I sure need it today, and I lack it. And I ask that you would help me to convey the thoughts from this passage and then for the subject at hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 6 is a wonderful, wonderful passage that junior churches, Sunday school can teach and can make illustration of, and in a way that kids can grab a hold of the thought and the body armor of the Lord for protection. You see that in this passage it talks about, first of all, truth, then righteousness, and then prepared to preach the gospel. And then above all, taking the shield of faith. And I thought, you know, the Word of God is our sword, and these things are truth and protection. But, you know, all those things are always true. But if you don't have faith in it, then it doesn't do anything for you. You can hold a Bible, and if you hold a Bible and don't have faith in it, it's not really that sharp. The Word of God is what it is, but I've got to have faith in it for it to have any effect in my life. The effectual faith it talks about. And so I know that our shield in our helmet. But really, if I don't believe any of it, then it doesn't have much effect, even though it should have all the effect for everyone and everything. And going through that, just those list of things, it's what we're supposed to stand with. It's what we're supposed to be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And I don't think that there's any other source that is our enemy we ought to be most mindful of than the devil himself. And it reminds us in verse 12, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Now, there's the world that's against us, and we know that your flesh is against you. It still is, even after I got saved, amen. It never let up in trying to tempt and coerce me. But sometimes arguments and disagreements and things that we wrestle with and protest against and stand up against, I think we forget it's not a political party. It's not another Protestant church or a different denomination. Really, according to Ephesians 6, it's the spiritual wickedness in high places. It's the rulers of the darkness of this world. And the God of this world has governments of this world. If you didn't think that, we probably surely could agree to that now, not just ours and things, not who's the head of it, but just in talking in general. God ordained government, but man is sure part of it, and that's the problem with all these governments. When Jesus comes and sets up his government and rules and reigns from Jerusalem, it'll be a perfect kingdom. And you won't have to worry about anybody trying to get their ideas or their agendas or their lobbying done, because Jesus will rule and reign with a rod of iron. But in the scope of things, I read an article this morning that a man was arrested because of his Christian beliefs as a politician in a different country, Indonesia, for speaking out against a Muslim. You can read against people getting all kinds of grief and persecution because of their beliefs or their practices in any different country. And you just pick a country and figure out something that somebody's persecuting somebody else against. Might not necessarily be Christianity, might be other things. In India wants to be the only Hindu country in the world. They don't really want to give much leeway to Muslims or Christians. You can find some way in some area that, wow, we got to fix this, we got to go against this. But the Bible says for us to recognize that all of these things is spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not an issue between us and some other person. This is the battle of the ages, right and wrong, good and evil, God and his arch enemy, Satan. And so, because we're involved with this, whether you like it or not, there might be some wisdom that we could gain in understanding some things that we're told to stand against. Well, it's not my fight, preacher, it's the Lord's fight. Yeah, but he told us to stand. He gave us instructions on what our part would be in these things. And so, as we look at this, the word wrestle in verse number 12, whenever I think of wrestling, I think of WWF. Can somebody say amen? I mean, Hulk Hogan putting his hand out there and all that stuff. As a kid, my mom would get so disgusted. You watching that silly stuff? And me and my dad would be like, yeah, we love, you know. And watch our soap opera and the wrestling. Oh, it's totally changed from when I was a kid. It used to be on Saturday morning cartoon time, and now it's on late night nasty time, unfortunately. I don't even want to know all the things. But anyway, I'm just teasing a little bit. But wrestling is a battle. It's somebody going against one another and trying to put the other one down. And so the scripture tells us it's the rulers of the darkness of this world. Jesus told us not to love the things of the world. And truly, we have to realize and understand that that's because of who's controlling and who is over this world. There is a God of this world. Now, we know the God who made this world, and I know him as my father now since I've been saved, but there is a God of this world, little g, and there's some authority there. And it tells us how are we going to stand against him? The wiles of the devil, look at verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It tells us that there'll be the whole armor would be our answer. Not just part of it, but all of it. And I know that there have been times when I've probably worn some parts of it better or more capable than others. But I need it all because the devil's a trickster. He is the wily one. He's able to deceive the perfect man and woman who had no conscience of sin. He deceived them. And I have a conscience to sin. And I have a carnal flesh that enjoys sin. And I don't think that I might be tempted or deceived. We need to be aware of these things, that we're wrestling, and it's the world, and the whole armor is what we need. And then it says to withstand. I like that Ephesians and Galatians has a lot about standing, and just standing to keep your place and not to go backwards. And sometimes when you take a stand, you get some ridicule and you get some pushback. You get some disagreements when you take a stand on a subject. It just happens because not everyone has the same stand or opinion. And the Bible tells us that we are to stand, therefore, with truth. And because this is called truth, then I'm going to stand even more than what my own opinion or my own idea would be, because it's not just what I think is true. The Word of God claims it is true. Then, having done all to stand, it talks about here in this passage. And so when we take the whole armor and withstand, what is the purpose of this? Well, it's so that you can fight off the devil. I agree. There's some attacks and there's some temptations that our shield of faith could, as it says in verse number 16, quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm glad that I'm saved. I got the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, all these things. And I think that the context that I most think about this passage is, this is for me so I can stand. This is so I can brace myself, because the devil's going to try to attack me. And I always think of it as defensive mechanism. The offense is the sword. I got to keep charging because this is about me and who I'm wrestling with. I don't know if that's the way you've looked at it, but I'm just being honest. That's the way I would have, if you asked me about it. Yeah, you need to put on the whole armor of God. You need to, so you can stand. And so it's about your battle and your place in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Amen. Look at verse 19. What's the end to which this passage is alluding us to? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the, what's it say? Mystery of the gospel. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. He's been in jail, imprisoned for not being against the devil, not for the word of God, for the gospel that he was telling other people. That's what he's in bonds for. He's an ambassador for this. And that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Boy, the disciples in the book of Acts, they were commanded not to teach or preach in his name. The guy just got healed. He couldn't walk. And now he's jumping and leaping, praising God. No, don't do that. Really? You're against people getting healed? We just don't want you to preach in that name. That's what we're against. I mean, there's a miracle, a guy that couldn't walk and heal. Wouldn't that be a humanitarian success? I mean, somebody who cannot physically get up, and now by the power, don't say that name. That's the name that we don't want to hear. And I'm going to tell you today that the wiles of the devil, it's not just against people, although he's our adversary, he wants to destroy. His goal, his agenda is to silence your mouth. To silence your message, to silence the mystery of the gospel. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the mystery of the gospel is that Jesus Christ can save you from hell through the death, burial, and resurrection of him. And that's the only thing that can pay for your eternal payment of sin. And so, thought about this. If the devil could do whatever he wants, wouldn't he kill Christians? Don't you think he would? I mean, I thought about this. I used to be so scared when it got dark, walking through an old church. I'm telling you, that was the worst job at Mount Orb, was locking up the church after Sunday night service and Wednesday night. It was, you know what I'm talking about, John Burchett. They're the scariest places in the world. Dark, old. I'm like, ooh, somebody's going to get me. I would be in the woods hunting, and it would get dark as a kid, and we would go to meet out where the trucks were, and by the time it got dark, and you're waiting for the last little chance to maybe get a shoot a deer, and it's dark, I would get so scared. And then finally, I start realizing, like, I'm really going to be able to fight off the devil if he comes at me. I mean, really, like I'm going to fight my physical battle with a Bible and protect the devil from taking my physical life. I can't protect my physical life. I have no way. If the devil wanted to get me, he going to get me someplace where, I mean, he'd probably get me by my own driving, amen. But he would be able to get me some way, somehow. And I realized the devil can't just do whatever he wants. Remember old Job, right? So I'm going to trust God, and then I'm just going to have a little bit of confidence that he's going to have to be my protector, my sustainer. So what does the devil do if he can't just kill you? He can't just stop you. He wants to silence you. And the devil is a roaring, I don't know everything about lions, but I remember when Brother Josiah was here, the roaring lion's not the one you need to worry about attacking. It's the hiding lion. It's the one that's being very quiet in the bushes. That's about ready to jump and pounce on you. The roaring one's just trying to intimidate you. Trying to push his own pride and his own. The devil wants to silence the church. John MacArthur is a pastor in California, and I would not agree with all of John MacArthur's doctrines. I'm not trying to promote or cast him down. But I know he's been a very strong stand against California overreach, trying to limit church, trying to say you can't have church because of the virus. And he said, we're having church. And trying to say you have to wear this and do that, and none against whatever we do, but I am against some government telling me what the church has to do. If the government could tell a church anything, it would tell them everything. Did you catch that? They would tell everything. And there's some common sense things about meeting and assembly, and I understand that there's some laws and regulations and things that, I'm not trying to get in the whole argument. I'm just saying that John MacArthur has been very, very prominent, saying we're going to have church and no one's going to tell us we can't have church. And I applaud him for that. Well, some of his preacher boys are in Canada. And one such is in Canada, and January 7th, 2022, Bill C-4 has just now went into effect, which outlaws the therapy or the conversion of someone who's having same-sex attraction or transgender identity things, and now they're trying to outlaw and ban any type of therapy or any type of advice to help or to try to get someone out of that lifestyle or persuasion. And in fact, it is now punishable with a 5-year sentence if you aid or embed or help in Canada, this is. And so this is the request. John MacArthur said, all the churches that are faithful to the word in Canada are going to preach against it this Sunday. And he says, I think that we ought to also preach and express the biblical views of these things just so that would be a little bit of statement against the, quote, government telling otherwise. Now, I'm not trying to be political in everything, but I do think that there's something to this strategy that's way bigger than just any issue. Can I tell you that the world doesn't really care for any certain group? The world doesn't. The devil doesn't care what identity group you identify with. Let me just give you some examples. For years, there was civil rights movement and trying to make things better racially. And now that there's been great, great strides to these things in our government, our things, it's like that we want that the government wants to divide us more than ever on that same issue. Yeah. Women's rights was a big push, and women's rights was hey, need to be able to do this, do that, and equal pay, and all these things. But you know now, if you're a swimmer in the Ivy League, all of your records are being broken by a man who says he's a woman and can swim faster than any other woman who's ever swam in her life. And this Leah Thomas is setting every record because Leah grew up as a man, swam for the man's team the last 3 years, but now is swimming for the women's team because Leah Thomas identifies as a woman and now is crushing every record because physically, obviously, Leah, I can't say he or she, Leah is way stronger than any other woman. So now women are like, what about our rights? We fought for years to get all this. Title IX in college, university is to give equal pay and equal for, so that women's sports can have the same opportunities as men's sports. But a few years ago, there was a 6'7" man who played girls' basketball. Fortunately, he was just horrible even as a man, so it didn't break any records. But he was 6'8" or 6'9" playing on the girls' team. It's a little bit unfair for the women. Can I tell you that the world doesn't care about women's rights? The world doesn't care about transgender rights. It's just a group they're using right now to watch. Silence the church. And let's be honest, the church has been wrong on some issues. Can you imagine that? A church, human beings trying to interpret the Bible may be wrong on some points. Yes, that could happen. Yes, that has happened. And because churches might have been wrong in the past does not mean that the Bible is wrong at any time. You follow me? So the agenda is to silence the church. Do you think that we really care about countries that we, quote, have went in to stop genocide, but then when we leave, all of a sudden those same countries that we cared about genocide, now they're killing LGBT people left and right, hunting them down in Afghanistan. Because the Muslim faith does not give any grace if you're a lesbian, gay, transgender, what, I don't even know all the identifications, but if you're in Afghanistan and you identify as that, you better hide for your life. Well, that's a tragedy. We need to go and stop that. No, we left there because that's not the issue that everyone's trying to defend. The world doesn't care. The devil doesn't care whatever group. The devil will use a group. Oh, we care. You know what the devil said to Eve? Oh, you need to be wise. If you eat this fruit, God's been holding back something from you. Well, it's good for food. Why don't you? Oh, God hath not said, you shall not surely die. Let me help you, Eve. You're a forgotten group. You are being held back from wisdom. Did the devil really care about Eve? And the devil doesn't care about anyone else who falls into sin. Oh, you need to be able to have liberty. No, the devil cares about this. Let me show you. This is what this Canada bill says. It's an expansion upon another bill that they were arguing back and forth, and now, after the election, at the end of the year, now it was unanimously passed. It's Canada Bill C-4. Here's what it says. It reads as follows, the preamble to the bill. Whereas conversion therapy causes harm to the persons who are subjected to it. Whereas conversion therapy causes harm to society, because, among other things, it is based on and propagates myths and stereotypes about sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression, including the myth that heterosexuality, cisgender, gender identity, and gender expression that conforms to the sex assigned to a person at birth are to be preferred over other sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. In other words, the Canadian government is telling you what is a myth and what is a harm to society. I'm glad they figured that out in the last few years. Now, let me just tell you, we're not wrestling against sexual identity. We're not wrestling against transgenderism or homosexuality. In fact, that is a sin, and some people will struggle with sin. You may not struggle with that sin, but I guarantee you struggle with some sin. That's not okaying that sin. That's not lifting up. I'm just telling you, it is a sin. God defines it. The Bible describes it. And that's what it is. Now, this is not a hate speech, although somebody could define it that way and prosecute me one day. not really caring about the group I might be talking. No, just trying to silence the church. Silence the mystery of the gospel. I'm telling you, it's no wonder that we've had so many closed doors by culture and society over a virus, because the world, the spiritual wickedness, doesn't want the message of the gospel to go out. I'm telling you, there's been less evangelism the last 2 years than I can estimate any other time since I've been a pastor of a church. I can't tell you how many people that we normally would have had the opportunity to witness to that we just have not had an open door. And you say, well, that shouldn't stop us. No, but what it is, it's just an attempt to shh. You do what you believe. Do not tell anyone else. Can I just tell you this? The LGBT group, the only way they'll survive is if they recruit. Because you're not born that way. You've come that way from influence from outside. What happens? You watch something, you listen to something, you think something, and then you see something, and then you start questioning. That's where it comes from. You're not born that way, or we've got a problem with this, calling it a sin. So what I'm telling you is, every group has to recruit, so let's stop the recruiting. Let's stop the church recruiting. Shh. We sang this song, there's a sign erected that says something about the church. I'm like, well, I wish we could put our sign up that says something about the church in Marysville. There's all kinds of attempts to silence. You know what else will silence the church? Not just Satan. Sin will silence the church. Amen. When the church gets into sin, it silences their testimony. When a Christian doesn't live the way they're supposed to, it silences their testimony on those subjects. Hey, try to preach on tithing if you're not a tither. Hey, try to preach on pornography if you're watching it and taking part in it. Hey, try to preach on witnessing if you never do it. I'm just going to tell you, people won't preach what they're not practicing because it makes them feel like a hypocrite. Sin silences the church. Shame silences the church. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. Listen, the only message that changes someone's life is that Jesus died, was buried, and risen. Amen. It's the mystery of the gospel. That's what message I'm not ashamed to tell you. And if you're here and you're not saved, you can get saved today. If you're here and you're struggling with a sin, God can help you with that today. Amen. It's the mystery of the gospel. Well, I need some specific therapy. Yes, you do. It's called death, burial, resurrection. It's called the Word of God. Well, I need something tailored just to me. Yeah, it is. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. It is tailored just for you. You don't need anything specific. There's some fellowship and groups. I'm telling you, you need the gospel and the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what's attempted to be silenced. And so, as I mention these things, can I just give you a couple definitions from Scripture? Go with me to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter 1. January 16th, 1978, I was born. And I remember a great, great other day of a January 16th. And it was the day that I turned 16. Can somebody say amen? Now, I'd been driving a few farm vehicles on the side and practicing some tractors and go-karts and things. But when I turned 16, I could not wait to get to the Georgetown BMV to take a test so I could have a driver's, can somebody say it, license. And the state of Ohio, you can have a driver's permit earlier, but when you're 16, if you went through driver's ed, at least that's what it was back in the day when I was a kid, then you could go get your license. And I remember I came, they wanted me to turn left at a stoplight. It's the only thing I messed up. I was a little aggressive. You might not doubt that. I was a little aggressive at that left-hand turn. That's the only thing I messed up on, but he said, you can have your license. And I'm like, woohoo! I am now joined the Society of the Brave and the Free. I can drive legally. Isn't it crazy that we wait for kids to be 16 to be able to drive an automobile in society, but we'll let kids when they're 6 and 7, 8 years old decide what sex they're going to be? When God already decided when they're born? Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27, verse 26. The Bible says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and what?
Multiply.
So the purpose for being male and female, and notice it's created in Genesis 2, they're made and created. It's so to replenish the earth, to multiply. In Genesis chapter 5, look at verse number 2. I'm not trying to introduce this to you. I'm just trying to make, just it's truth. This is what the Bible says. Genesis 5, 2, this book, verse 1, this is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day they were created. There's a blessing, both, not one blessed above the other. There's just different purposes, and God designed and picked that, and Adam and Eve were created, male and female. They didn't get to decide it. They were created that way, and there was no other option from God, although since then there's all kinds of been options from man. If you go to with me to Matthew chapter 19. Go with me to Matthew chapter 19. Just look at a few verses. Again, not trying to make. I don't think that the message that I was asked to preach is really about defining sexuality. Now, the world may have some other opinions on it, but the Bible is very clear. And if you're a Bible believer, I know that people may struggle with some things. I'm not trying to make light of that. But I'm just telling you, this is clear what the Bible says. But I think that the real strategy that Satan is trying to do is just trying to silence the church, and he'll use other strategies as well. It won't just be over this one issue. It'll be over 1,000 issues, because that's his goal, is to silence the church, not just to bring up this one thing. In Matthew 19, verse number 4, he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them what? Male and female. Jesus needs to go get some education of all the other genders that he forgot to include. No. Have you not read? It's in the scripture. That's what the standard of truth is. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. One article I was reading said, it's so sad that preachers of hate hold on to verses that aren't even translated correctly. I'm like, oh, wonderful that someone who doesn't even believe the Bible is going to tell us how it should be interpreted and translated and so forth. But just in case you didn't know, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That phrase is equal with sodomy, that last phrase. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were, I love this part, such were some of you, but ye are what? Washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We're so narrow-minded, it's not just same-sex things that are outlawed, it's out of marriage things that are outlawed. Yeah. The Bible is just as clear that if you're heterosexual and you're having a relationship outside the constraints of marriage, you're guilty. Yeah. You're wrong. Yeah. You're no better. Well, at least I'm not that. That doesn't matter. It's wrong. Yeah. It's S-I-N. Yeah. I don't care how old you are either. Yeah. You can be a 19-year-old, a 14-year-old, or an 84-year-old, and it's wrong if it's not in the confines of marriage. Wow, you Bible believers are haters. No. No, because God offers to wash us from it. Amen. Hallelujah. He could have just pointed out and say, well, you're done. You're guilty. No hope for you. You drank the poison, now you're going to die. But God is amazing that he would wash us from those sins. Justify us in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we can look at other verses. Galatians 5 dictates the works of the flesh. Sin is defined in Scripture. It's amazing to me that we think it's totally plausible that we should make children wait till they're 16 or 18 before they're liable to make decisions as adults, because before 18, they don't have the same punishment underneath the eyes of the law, because we realize that they didn't got all their brain cells put together yet, and they're maturing and growing, so we can't hold them liable for everything that they decide because they're kids. But yet this decision can have way lasting effects for the rest of their life if they're able to make it as a child. But you cannot give them any counseling, according to Canadian law C4, or you're punishable because you're trying to convert them away from their thinking. And it's harmful for society. It's not really about that, folks. The world could care less about the LGBTQ community. What the wickedness of this world cares about is the message of the BIBLE. And they want to silence the mystery of the gospel. They want to shame you that you identify with it. They want to cause you fear that you would stand up against. How can you go against the philosophy of the world? Is our world really for science? No, they're not. Our world's not for science. Not to get political again, but ask Rand Paul, a doctor, who says, my immunity is better than your vaccine, so why can't we test that? Don't get me started. I'm just saying, we don't like science unless it fits with whatever agenda is being pushed that's trying to silence this book. I'm just telling you, it's about silencing. It's not about the situation at hand. And so whatever the devil can do to you to silence your voice, that is the battle at hand. I don't mind preaching against sin. I'm not for sin, any kind of it. I know I'm guilty of some sin. I don't mind preaching because the truth needs to be preached, and maybe it'll touch somebody's heart and point them to Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid to preach against sin. I'm not afraid to call it out. If someone judges me and says, you're this, you're that, okay, you can judge that. And I'm just going to keep on trying to make this my judgment. Amen. I love people. I want people to go to heaven. Yeah. I'm not perfect in it. I'm not the all-knowing, I'm not the judge, I'm not the jury, I'm just the witness. I shouldn't be the prosecutor or the defense attorney, I'm just the witness. But I tell you this, that once I realize it's about silencing my voice, there's a lot of other things that silence my voice besides sin and besides these subjects. You know what silences my voice? Being afraid what people think. Being afraid what people may say. That silences my voice than anything else. It's not the world that's telling me you can't witness to somebody. It's my own personal fears. So once I understand, how can I be so against this sin and then still commit and fall right into the hands of the devil and not even realize it? And the devil just smiled at that too. Yep, I got him silenced. Didn't matter what he was standing against or for. Go back to Ephesians, look at it. Ephesians chapter 6. When you read the armor of God, after all these things that you do to stand, praying always with the prayer in verse 18 and supplication, watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints, and then verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. That's not speaking another tongue. That's not being able to have some spiritual gift. No, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen. That is the whole purpose of being able to stand in the evil day, is to be able to give a witness of the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And so if something causes me to silence about that, then that's the strategy of the enemy. So whatever he can use to keep you silent about Jesus, he doesn't care the subject, he doesn't care the strategy. The enemy doesn't care what it is at the moment. Do you realize there were hate speech laws in our country as soon as we came over? There were hate speech laws from the very beginning. You can't speak against this religion or that religion. From the very beginning, we've tried to make hate speech laws in our country over all kinds of circumstances and all kinds of subjects. The goal is to silence the gospel. That's the goal. And so what has the devil been able to use to silence your voice about Jesus and about the need to be saved? Has he used some sin in your life? I'll tell you how you conquer that. Repent of that sin. Say, I'm not going to do it anymore. If that's what's silencing my voice, I'm going to stop doing that sin because I want to have a stronger voice so I can tell some about Jesus. Amen. When we got to sing today and Sharon didn't have her microphone on and started singing, you could hear me, but you couldn't hear her. The devil would love to take the power out of your voice. Sharon was singing just as loud before the microphone was turned on as when it was turned off. But the difference was there was no power in the microphone. Yeah. The devil would love to take away your power. And your power is hinged on the person of Jesus Christ, walking with him in close fellowship. So if there's a sin, repent of it. If there's a situation that you're embarrassed of, trust this. This is the truth. Don't worry about what you think. Remember, my preacher trained me. Brother Tim Carter is going to come speak at our marriage workshop. And one time, Brother Carter was trying to make something and had a preacher gave him a task. And he did it differently than what preacher had asked him to do. And so when they got in the staff meeting, he said, Carter, why'd you do that? He said, well, I thought. And he said, Carter, there's your problem. I don't pay you to think. I pay you to do. Yeah. He said, I've never forgot that the rest of my life. He said, my preacher didn't pay me to think. He pays me to do. And he said, Carter, there's your problem. You thought. Just do what I told you to do. You know what we need to do? Just do what God tells us to do. I don't have to agree with it. It doesn't matter because this is right. I'm not if I disagree. So the silencing of the church is the real issue at hand. I don't even know if preachers will be prosecuted in Canada after this law is now in fact. I don't know if parents are going to come in trouble if they want to get some other counseling for their children, no matter what their idea is at the time. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know this. The church cannot be silent. So once the church becomes silent on the gospel, there is no hope for any sin, no matter what it is. All God's people said, amen. Every head bowed. Read a few verses together, and then we'll pray and be seated. Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, I hope he's your one desire to be with the Lord Jesus and yearn for his fellowship and presence. And one day we're going to see the King, King of Kings. I can't wait until that day. Until then, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Read these verses, and then we'll about to pray, have some comments before we jump into the subject at hand. Verse number 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Ephesians 6:10. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Then let's get two more verses. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought.